let's start with introductions. And I'm just going to work down the list that we've got in the panelists. I don't see any attendees at the moment. So I'm going to start with recording secretary.
Hi, I'm Heather Raven, and I'm with the city. It's nice to be here with you all tonight.
And Kate?
Kate Bartholomew, City of Bellingham. Hello, everyone.
And Victor?
Victor Corsetti, I represent the Cordata neighborhood. Is there anything else I need to disclose?
All right, I'm going to ask. I've been calling you Liz. Do you prefer Liz or Elizabeth?
Oh, Liz is fine. Okay. Elizabeth, when written down, is a professional vanity.
Oh, that's the part that I don't understand.
Yeah, Liz Jennings from the Sunnyland neighborhood. I'm actually wearing my Sunnyland sweatshirt tonight.
Okay, you guys keep moving. Stop moving. Jennifer?
Jennifer Miles, Ward 5 representative.
And Karen?
Karen Jones, also representing Sunnyland.
And Jennifer?
I went already.
Oh, okay. The order is shifting, so who hasn't gone yet?
It shifts when they talk. So they'll pop up to the top, and then when they when they mute again, it'll go back in order.
All right, then forget that, Liz. We got Kate, Chen, Victor, Liz, Jennifer. Have we got Karen? We got Karen. Christina?
Christina Michelle Martin's at-large city councilor for Bellingham.
And Pierce?
Pierce Bach. Representative for Happy Valley and student senator at Western.
Rachel.
Hey, Rachel Jewell, Cornwall Park area representative. It's really wet outside. I just walked home.
Samia.
Hi, Samia Lutz with the City of Bellingham.
And Yin Ho.
Yin Ho Lai, go by Yin, and I'm part of the Alabama Hill neighborhood.
I am Aaron Clausen. I think I am at large, and I'm sitting here enjoying a cup of chai tea.
Great to hear.
I miss the real stuff.
I didn't introduce myself.
Oh, I am sorry.
That's okay. I was talking before the recording, so it was like I was introducing myself.
Shannon, how are you?
I am great. Having a good day, even though it's rainy and blah outside. And I'm I live in what's it called? Happy Valley, where the squirrels are setting off transformers on a regular basis.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, it happens about four times a year, I think, wouldn't you say? Any Happy Valley folks? Anyways, hi.
All right. Have I missed anybody else?
We do have a prospective CDAB member who's an attendee. I don't know if you want to have him introduce himself now or later.
Well, how about we do that? Jonathan, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. Jonathan Scanlon. I live in the Columbia neighborhood. And it's nice to be here listening in tonight.
I also live in Columbia. So, welcome. Oh, it looks like Brian got in just under the wire. Brian, you got to introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. Sorry to be tardy and also spastic with my camera. I am Brian Thane. I'm with the Housing Authority.
All right. I hope everybody had an opportunity to review the minutes from last, I guess that was a month ago already, last month's meeting. Did anybody have any corrections, comments, compliments, good font choice? All right, then the minutes are adopted by general consensus. Moving on to public comment period. Jonathan, do you have anything as our representative of the entire public of the City of Bellingham that you'd like to say?
No, not at this moment, but thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
I'm clearly the moon tonight. I believe that closes our public comment period. So this is going to be hopefully a relatively short meeting. We have one big agenda item, and that is the housing equity data and fair housing survey update by Kate with more pie charts.
I know how much you guys love pie charts.
I'll try and keep a neutral expression this time.
I just won't look at you. I'll look at somebody else, actually. Yeah, it feels like we're all kind of in a little bit of a silly mood tonight, which is fine because it's not really even a big agenda item. It's kind of a small agenda item, but we aren't going to be meeting in July. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to see all of your wonderful faces one more time and then kind of make sure things are a little bit more fresh on your mind, carrying on our conversation from last month and letting you know where we're going from here. So really, it should be pretty short, but let me get that going here. One moment. From the beginning. Oh, sorry.
In the meantime, I'm just going to appreciate, is that a staghorn fern behind your head?
Oh, why, yes, it is. I think it's this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have some, like.
Uh-oh.
Oops. Did you lose me?
Just for a second, but sorry. Yeah, I should keep it to business.
I was trying to show you just how big it is. I have some office mates with a very green thumb. Uh-oh. Hello.
You're back.
Okay. My screen went dark, but I can hear you. Actually, there. One moment, please. There we go. Everything's in a different order now. I'm putting it back together, getting my PowerPoint. Okay, we'll just do that. Okay, I'm going to share my screen now once and for all. Okay, screen 2 and share. You should see a PowerPoint. Okay. Well, now, okay. To the side for me. So I'm just going to speak. Very briefly, actually, move my. Okay.
We lost your PowerPoint.
I know. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. I just unplugged from my monitors because it was causing issues. So I'm just going to go from the laptop here. Okay. You're gone. You're all gone. Hello?
We can see you and hear you, and we did see your PowerPoint when you had it up before. I'm so sorry for the staghorn fern distraction.
I'm sorry. No, I can't.
Kate,
I think I might have to close Zoom and open it again because I have nothing but a black screen, so I can't share my screen.
Hey, Kate. Moment.
Yeah.
Is there any way for you to force quit PowerPoint? Because I can open your presentation.
I already have it open.
No.
Heather can share screen okay. For the presentation.
The thing is, I can't see any of you. It's not my PowerPoint. That's the problem. It's Zoom. It's just black, so I can't look, see you or push a button at the moment. So that's I'm gonna. Okay.
You talk.
We're on the first slide.
Okay. All right. I'll just talk through my PowerPoint. Great. Okay. So you're on the pie charts or just the title page?
Pie charts now.
Okay. So I think last time, if you recall, I had I wanted to start before I get into the assessment of fair housing public participation update. I wanted to pick up where we left this thread the last time. I had shown you a pie chart comparing the population of the city of Bellingham as a whole with the population below 50% of the median income. And there was a suggestion from this group to actually compare the race and ethnicity of those above median income with those below. And that was a really, I thought, interesting suggestion. I wasn't sure where to draw that line. So I used what we normally use for our funding decisions, which are households above 80% of the area median income are considered ineligible for services. So that would be the higher income. It's not necessarily high income, but it's higher versus those earning below of 50% of the median income are low income households generally. So what you can see in the there's some big differences in the race and ethnicity composition if we split the population that way for our city. So this is the pie chart on the left are those earning above 80% of the area median income. And you can see of that group, it's over 90% white and non-Hispanic. And then also, I think another big difference is only 4% Hispanic of any race in that above 80% group. Those earning below 50% of the area median income are we see an 11% of that population being Hispanic and only less than 80% being white and not Hispanic. And then obviously some other differences among our other race and ethnic groups here. So I think that kind of, there was a lot of interest in this chart the last time. I didn't exactly pull out above 50 and below 50. And my thinking was just that households earning, you know, between 50 and 80, we consider that moderate income. So it's not really a high income group. So I just thought it would be more kind of true to the way we look at funding to do it this way. So that was just to kind of follow up on a question. If anyone wants to ask me a question as we go, please feel free to verbally interject because I cannot see anybody. So raising your hand won't work. Someone's going to have to shout out. So if there are no questions, then I'll go on to our next slide. And this should be the bar charts that are two different shades of green. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes.
Okay. So on this slide, we have, this was another request from this group last time. And that was to just before we had the general population of Bellingham in the dark green, and then the lighter green was the Bellingham beneficiaries served by our programs that the city provides some funding for. I wanted to follow up on that request to just compare that with the low income population of Bellingham compared to the race and ethnicity of the beneficiaries served, because all of our programs are meant to serve primarily, if not exclusively, low income folks. So if we do it that way, we can see not a huge difference in the graph that I showed last time. We still see this similar percentages among all the groups. I don't see any huge disparities in any group being excluded, except for there's still that underrepresentation among our beneficiaries in the Asian and not Hispanic group. And then maybe a little, I guess, overrepresentation in the Hispanic or of any race. But, you know, these are, well, it really depends what data set you use. There's multiple different data sets one could use to pull that population data of Bellingham, and depending on the year and the survey, these numbers would look a little different. But I just wanted to follow up on that thread for you all. Any questions on that? Because I'm going to jump into the assessment of fair housing, the timeline and outreach efforts from here. But this is good data, I think, to ground the conversation for that. Okay, hearing nothing. I wanted to check in on the project timeline. So this is just a simplified version of a timeline you've seen before, and it's also what is published on Engage Bellingham, which I hope everyone's had a chance to look at. But we are coming up on we have the Housing Equity and Access Survey, which I'm going to be talking about a bit more in a moment. That closes June 30th. So that's kind of our preliminary public engagement and data collection on our assessment of fair housing. Then we'll be drafting the assessment of fair housing in the summer, which will then be available to the public for comment. And you'll have a hearing in this chamber. So I want it, or chamber, virtual group will have a hearing on the assessment of fair housing, which will be submitted to HUD in October. And that is a precursor, which will inform our consolidated plan, which we'll be drafting in the fall and winter. So November, December, hopefully, 2022. And then we'll be doing a lot more public outreach and engagement, probably trying to cast an even wider net to do a consolidated plan survey and public comment period based on the draft consolidated plan, which will then be finalized and submitted to HUD in April 2023. So those of you who are newer to the board, or Jonathan in your case, who are thinking about joining, I just wanted to give you a reminder of where we're headed with all of this in the months to come. It's going to be, while this meeting is a rather light meeting, it's going to be a busy late summer and fall for sure. So far, where we are with the engagement is we've broken it up into five different subtopics, just because the consolidated plan is very, very broad and has a lot of issues wrapped into it. I've posted the equitable access to housing page and also the addressing and preventing homelessness page, which is new as of June 1. So if you haven't visited Engage Bellingham in a while, go back and check out that page. That is usually a topic that the public is really interested in. Even if you're trying to talk about other things, people tend to want to talk about homelessness. So that's a great place to direct. If you have neighbors in conversations that come up, you know, with your colleagues, neighbors, fellow ward members, you know, it's a great source of information just to help people understand what the city is doing and how we address and prevent homelessness currently. So I do want to offer that as a resource to you. I don't have it linked here, but if we have time at the end, I could show everyone.
Hey, Kate, this is Liz. Yeah. I'm sure that probably Heather has sent this out to us, but it would be nice to get it sent again as a specific request for us to forward it to our networks and in our neighborhoods. So, you know, I should not say we. I have not noticed it enough to forward it on. So maybe one more time.
Sure. No, that's great. I don't think there was much fanfare when this one was released, so it's fine if you missed it. And I think sending out I will send out an email or ask Heather to send out an email to recap from this meeting, because I think there will be a few kind of action step nudges for this group. So we'll wrap that in there. Thanks for that. And then also, over the summer, like I said, we won't be meeting in July, but there will be another page getting launched in mid-July too, which is just more housing for more like low income and seniors, et cetera, not necessarily the homeless population. I wanted to give you an update on the status of the survey to date. I want to preface this by saying for those of you who weren't at the meeting when I first talked about our survey that we did 4 years ago now, 5 years ago, I think we got about 2,000 responses to that survey, which is lovely. However, it was by far the majority of folks were higher income homeowners, which really isn't the demographic that I am searching to reach with this assessment. So I've been doing a lot more targeted outreach. And so far, it's a few smaller numbers, but these are the demographics. So I'm going to compare that to the city's demographics in a moment on our next slide. But there have been 343 complete responses from Bellingham residents. I'm excluding anybody who said they live outside of Bellingham and excluding anybody who didn't, you know, people open the survey but don't complete it. So those are completed surveys of Bellingham residents that we received so far, which is pretty good. I'd like to get a bit more. Maybe I think in my heart I was hoping for like maybe 450, which would be like 0.5% of the Bellingham population. On our next slide, I'll just jump to that because that's a side-by-side comparison for your.
That's a quick question. If we back up one slide.
Yeah, which slide are we? Which slide are you?
Survey demographics today: 343 complete responses.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It says 83% identified as white, 10% preferred not to say, 15% were Black, Indigenous, people of color, or multiracial.
Yeah, those don't add up because.
Yes, that's I saw that too.
Yes, those don't add up because the way the survey is written, folks who are multiracial, that's why it says BIPOC or multiracial combined, because it's the way the question is written and reported out in SurveyMonkey, which is the template that I'm using. We ask people to select multiple boxes if they're multiracial. And so it doesn't count. I didn't have the time to go in and like pull out people who selected multiple boxes versus just one. And so there's, it's not going to add up to 100%.
Right.
Cause if, yeah. So that's a reporting error, but I was kind of scrambling to just get a really quick number off the top of that. Does that make sense?
Does.
So some people are double counted if they're multiracial. However, the point being most people, about 83% identified as white or and only white. So next slide has two columns with some highlighted. Is that what you're looking at now?
Yes, it is.
Cool. So the ones that I wanted to, that I felt like in my analysis were underrepresented, and I'm going to try to do some last minute outreach, and I would appreciate any help, is that I was surprised to see a 35% renters, 60% owners, compared to the city of Bellingham, which is 54% renters. So we have more than half of our city renting, and so far our survey respondents have really not been proportionate to that. So I do need to reach out to more renters. I have a couple more leads. I'm in conversation with folks at Western and also someone else I met today who works with a lot of tenants through People First Bellingham. So I'm gonna try to get that out. But if you, through your personal networks, feel like you know a lot of folks who rent, I think that is a good call to action. If you know, people see something that's like, oh yeah, another survey, but it's like, hey, we have this survey out and we really haven't heard from that many renters, so, you know, please take the survey if you rent. You know, I think that can be motivating for people. We also have, I think, yeah, more, again, this is sort of, it makes sense with the previous statistic. We have a 60% who live in a one or two person household of our survey respondents, which is a little lower than the city of Bellingham average. Actually, you might be surprised to learn that 71% of our residents are one or two person households. So I think we have more homeowners, more families who had responded to the survey so far. I am pleased to see that about 52% of our respondents so far are earn less than 50% of the median income. So that's great. I've really targeted the Bellingham Housing Authority's residents, put up posters, got a lot of responses from there, and some other avenues that I thought were likely to have a lot of lower income folks. So that is good to see that as much more you know, in line with the population of Bellingham compared to our last time. So I'm pleased with that.
And also the percent of folks who have a member of the household with a disability. I didn't get the exact latest statistic for Bellingham, but I do know statewide generally about 1 in 5 folks have a disability in our state. So that's great. And again, 30% or 29% of children. So we're doing well there. I should have highlighted this third from the bottom bullet. So the sources I'm using don't quite match up. However, in my survey, like I said before, 83% identified as white and no other race. And then the second highest response was prefer not to say. So more than any other race it was white, prefer not to say, and then everything else. So I think we could do better at reaching our non-white friends and neighbors. So again, if that's something you feel like you can push that out, I would appreciate it. Also our Hispanic community. So going into our next slide, I'll talk about some next steps I'm taking to help balance this out a little bit. But we're definitely going beyond the survey here. So on the next slide.
Hold on just a second. Liz has her hands up very politely.
Yes.
Thanks, Kate. This is great. And so I really appreciate what you're saying about the outreach with the Housing Authority, because they're always a super cooperative partner. And if this is a fair housing survey, it seems like we should be trying to get more penetration into the more affordable, privately owned, because if we're talking about people who self-identify as having discrimination, for example, and we're looking at trying to up the numbers on Hispanic or Latinx, Catholic Community Services, Mercy Housing, they may have issues with fair housing, but their mission is to serve that population. And so those folks may not experience discrimination as much as those who are in the private market. So, one of the questions I have, and you don't have to necessarily answer that, maybe this is a question for the group, is like, how do we get responses from people who are in privately owned, not nonprofit housing developments?
I'd love any ideas. I that very same thought occurred to me, Liz. I can more easily reach people who are housed because I know they're all low income and they're already housed at Bellingham Housing Authority, Mercy Housing, one of our Via Santa Fe, et cetera. But if this survey is about, housing access, well, I'm accessing people who have housing because they're housed with one of these great organizations. So while I do appreciate their perspective, I think the folks we also want to talk to are those who are not fortunate enough to have accessed a unit through one of our nonprofit partners. So if anyone has ideas of how to reach folks, I am going to get into my other outreach efforts. I don't want you to think this survey is everything. It is not. But if anyone has ideas of how to reach more lower income or just renters in general on the private market, I'm all ears.
Don't renters or landlords have to register their units with the city?
Yes. But we just have the renters the landlord's contact information for that. That doesn't help.
Hey, could you please forward the survey to your tenants?
Well, since Heather administers that program, I might let her speak to that. We don't normally, I think there's some privacy issues around using that list. Heather, do you have a response to that?
Yeah, there's an agreement when the program was started that we can't use the program for marketing events and things like that. We've used it for trainings, but this is a little bit different to send it out and ask them to forward it to their tenants. So we wouldn't be able to use the information collected in that manner.
Okay.
It can go on the registration website. I mean, that's something that we should probably look into. Kate is putting the survey as a link on that section of our website, but.
Hmm. Do tenants go there or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite often to find out if their unit's registered.
Hmm. Okay, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
I have another suggestion, but Pierce put his hand up. So, hey, Pierce, what do you got?
Yeah, I was wondering if you've reached out to people living in transitory housing, like some of the tiny home villages.
Not directly, but I did kind of intend to because we do have connections with those folks. I was thinking about maybe actually doing more of an in-person event at one of the tiny home villages if residents are interested. Part of the reason I hesitate is just because a lot of folks are coming in kind of recovering from being homeless recently, and I kind of hesitate to just ask them to fill out a long survey, but I was trying to mull over some maybe an in-person kind of coffee kind of outreach chat sort of something. But yeah, I mean, that's a good question.
And Brian also has his hand up. I think you're also muted.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
There you are.
Kate, you might ask your helpful contact at the Housing Authority, whoever that might be.
Ramash, he's been wonderful.
I just know it's not me. So we've been moving so much of our application and certification process online. We do have a lot of emails. I don't know whether it's possible for us to forward a link for you, but it's worth asking the question. I'll also ask the team, generally we don't put external links on our website.
Mm-hmm.
It just, we're not eager to go down that path and manage that. But in this instance, we might be able to help out that way. Oh, and then people who are, come on, are you guys opening up a wait list or not, would see it.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I've heard wait lists might be opening soon. So I'm assuming that would be a lot of traffic to your site recently. People checking to go on to apply who aren't currently housed, which I think is the demographic that Liz was getting at. People who would like to maybe live in a BHA property or get a voucher, but do not currently have one.
Well, I'm also very confident that our voucher holders, even though they've got a good place now,
mm-hmm.
their path to placing their voucher is never easy.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. Especially because that's something we're interested in. If people are still facing source of income discrimination, that's definitely something we'd like to get a read on. So I can check with Irma if you have any folks that you work with it. We can talk. That would be great.
Yeah. Let's follow up and I'll see how we can help.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Any other?
Well, before we move on, one more thought occurred to me. There's a renters union.
Yeah, I did reach out to them early on a couple times. I think they're all volunteer run, and I don't know that they have a very active group monitoring that email anymore, which is a shame because they did some really great work a few years ago. Yeah. But I am following up with some Western student groups. I just recently got contact information for a disabled students advocacy group who I think might have definitely some experiences they might want to share. So I'm eager to get the word out to them as well, which I'll be talking about on these next couple slides. Anybody else have a question real quick? Or excuse me, another suggestion I can follow up on.
Yeah, we had talked about the Resident Action Project as well.
Yeah, I actually tried to find a current email, Samia, and I didn't have anything that was current of the last couple years. So if we could,
yeah, if you're talking about the Resident Action Project through the Low Income Housing Alliance, I can send you, John, one of their organizers' information, and they have folks who are tenants who are leads in each legislative district. So they usually have somebody in the 42nd and somebody in the 40th in Whatcom County.
Yeah, that would be great. I was in contact with a couple years ago, but that person has changed and I don't have a current email for who that would be. So if you know someone who could get me connected, I would love that.
Oh, look, I might have contact information for, I may be mispronouncing her name, Durame, who's the lead organizer for the RAP. I'll take a look and forward it if I do.
Super. Well, this has been extremely helpful. So any other comments before I move on? Okay. Next slide should say targeted outreach to date on the left.
It does.
Okay, so just some things I've gotten the word out. Like I was saying, I'm not casting a huge wide net. I'm really trying to focus on the demographics that we serve. So I sent it out in the Bellingham for Everyone newsletter, again, kind of hoping to target tenants. Our community resources network, who works with a lot of low providers who serve low-income folks. Aging Well Whatcom has a newsletter. They work with seniors. The Bellingham Housing Authority has been super accommodating with posting flyers and putting it in their newsletter. We had a few community meetings with residents of all the mobile and manufactured home parks in Bellingham. So that was super fortuitous timing because I had colleagues who were hosting some open houses with those on another issue, and they let me jump on there and plug the survey. So we got quite a few respondents of mobile home park residents, which is great. And then also the Varsity Village Project, Happy Valley Neighborhood Association, got some good feedback from that group of residents. Next slide is what is upcoming. And I wanted to see the next slide says upcoming outreach. Hopefully first bullet, in-person listening session at Lincoln Square is going to be Monday from 3 to 4. This is our first in-person listening session, kind of gonna see how it goes. My colleague Lisa Manas and I did several listening, or I guess 5 years ago, we did more like presentations at a couple of the Housing Authority properties, and they were great conversations. But I think this time, really, I'm going to try to be more less presenting and more just have some conversation starters and do some listening with residents and try to just hear what's on their mind in terms of equity, access, housing, discrimination, and see how that goes. And then maybe try to do another one at another Housing Authority property later in the summer. So I wanted to invite Heather and I were actually chatting about how this board has been great and how in the past there's been on-site meetings at different locations. And if anybody is available and not doing anything from 3 to 4 on Monday and would like to come sit in on this listening session just to represent the CDAB, we wouldn't even have to say anything, but I thought it'd be really cool if, for your information, you are hearing from residents and sitting in on this listening session and, you know, helping me take notes or just generate ideas for future listening session topics. I would love it if anyone wanted to attend. You're free to come. Just let me know if you're interested, and I'll send you more details. I have about, I think, 8 residents from 3 different Housing Authority properties who have all RSVP'd. And to follow up on a conversation that this board had several months ago, I don't know if you remember, but there was a suggestion and a question about whether we could offer some kind of compensation for residents. So Sammy and I worked with our our legal staff and determined that we can offer compensation. So I'm really glad. I think that's appropriate, especially if people are giving their time and traveling to get there. So I'm going to be able to offer a Visa, $35 Visa gift card for the participants that do come in and give their time and share their experiences. So that's something I'm really happy we're able to do this time around.
Kate, before you move on, can you put my name down the list for Monday?
Sure. Yeah.
And Liz just put her hand up.
Yeah, I'm super excited that you followed up on that, Kate. And I'm wondering what it would take to put that into policy so that it's not just because you heard us and responded to us, but this is a part of how the city does business. Because people with lived experience in homelessness or growing up as farm workers, things like that, they are getting surveyed to death right now. And we really need to honor the fact that what they're sharing with us, their expertise, is something that we can't get other than people who have more skills and experience in our community than we do. And we need to, and I almost don't want to use the word compensation because I know that that gets into all kinds of legal issues, but we do need to do something to provide a way for people's time to be honored. And so I'm not saying that we have to discuss that here, but that might be something for Christina as a council member or, the planning staff as policy wonks to come up with a proposal around that. But I think that should be business as usual and not just because this group suggested it and Kate was awesome and followed up on it.
Yeah, I don't know if Sammy or Christina have any follow-up comments on that, but.
Just thank you, Liz. Definitely hear you on that.
Same, and to a certain degree, I'm working on it, trying to figure out what levers to pull and push, because it's obviously something I stand with. It's what we did with the Racial Equity Commission, and it's just should be how business is done. So yes, Liz, you're amazing.
I'm sorry, people should pay for the data that they collect?
It becomes a discussion when the people are of color, which is what I've been fighting against for 2 years. But I do think that there's some light, a glimmer of hope on the horizon because it's becoming more of a normal practice. And to a certain degree, if you have a proof of concept, like this survey that's going to go out right now, to be able to say not only should we do it, but it worked and we're able to get this valuable information is always amazing to have in your back pocket.
I also want to be clear, my comment was meant as sarcasm. I think this is a great idea.
I also just want to say the proof of concept is that this is colonialism, that we go into communities and we mine their resources without compensating for it. And so we need to treat people's experience and expertise and all of that just as valuably as we do as the minerals in the ground that they own.
Karen, you have your hand up.
Did I miss how we attend the listening session on the 13th?
Oh yeah, I just said you could shoot me an email or just tell me and I can shoot you an email if you think you're interested. Mostly the details are right here, Lincoln Square, common area, 3 to 4 p.m. I just thought if you're in, a couple of you members might be nice. I would appreciate having more ears in the room, not necessarily to talk, but to listen and then to help me report back to this group what we heard. So
I'm not super familiar with Bellingham yet. Is the Lincoln Square common Google? Do you just Google map it?
Yeah, I can send you an address.
Okay.
It's the high rise behind Grocery Outlet on York Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
The big gray building.
I know it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So Karen, you're interested as well?
I am interested. Yeah.
Okay, great.
And be forewarned, there is no parking.
Good to know. I didn't think about that part. Okay, cool. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Well, hopefully in August we can give more updates. And the next session that I have sort of brewing is I've been in conversation with the executive director of the Max Higbee Center. The center has a beautiful new facility with lots of space. And in previous conversations with their executive director, Kate Whiteside, she mentioned that the families and the members of the Max Higbee Center, you know, have thoughts, feelings, questions, you know, about all kinds of city services. I've also had some conversations with my colleagues in Public Works who are updating their bicycle and pedestrian master plan, and also our parks colleagues who are doing an urban forestry plan. So lots of departments, as Liz alluded to, are doing lots of surveys right now about lots of different things. And we're trying to, I think, put together kind of another listening session where community members with disabilities have a space, and we can provide some, in this case, if it's a larger group, maybe not direct compensation, but like dinner and snacks and, you know, and just have a conversation where they can, I don't have to just limit the conversation to like, I just want to hear about your housing experiences and I don't know anything else, so don't ask. It's just sometimes how I feel when you say you're from the city, but obviously the city is a huge organization with lots of programs and departments that work on very different things. So I'm looking forward to having a session where we get Public Works, Parks, and community development in the room, and people who can want to talk about sidewalks can talk to Chris, and people who want to talk about trees can, or parks, can talk to someone, and who want to talk about their housing issues can talk to me. So that's something we're working on. We are getting into the summer, and what I've heard from folks is that, you know, with families right after school, a lot of people take a vacation, they leave town. It's a little hard to do in-person stuff, especially in July. So we're going to put this out on the calendar. And then also I'm working on getting a survey out to parents with children through the Bellingham School District. I got some feedback again from the school district that if I could make the survey shorter, then I might have more success. So I pared it down a lot to a 20 question survey to a 9 question survey. And I'm going to offer a chance to win a gift card. So a real reason I wanted to reach out to the school district is because while I did show you before, we've had pretty good success with getting in touch with families with children, which is great. A special needs group we do want to target. But also, as I think I've discussed in past meetings, our student school age population is much more diverse than our population of Bellingham as a whole. So I think it's really important to reach the families of young children, because that really is that future of Bellingham, not what Bellingham looks like today. So I'm hoping we can get out a concise version of the survey to parents and families in the school district. So I'm working on that as well. And then on the next slide.
Actually, before we advance, Karen, you still have your hand up. Could you put it back up, or is it just? Okay, Karen. Hey, next slide.
Okay, next slide. Mom Pete, next steps. Also working on seeing similarly to the Max Higbee, but we're just a little bit not quite as far. Just started talking to the Via Santa Fe coordinator there with farm worker families, hoping to, again, get some participation from more Hispanic families. Same thing, my colleague in Parks has budget for interpretation services. I have budget to provide compensation of some kind. So we're going to pull our resources and have hopefully an event where we have live interpretation as well as, you know, food and drink, and a chance for families who often don't connect with the city to connect directly and talk about what's on their minds in terms of housing and transportation. And then also, I think I already mentioned this, working with trying to reach out to the student advocacy coordinator for disabled students at Western. So that is my those are all my steps. Those are all my, that's what we got going. I'm gonna close my slide. I don't know if I can see any of you yet. My Zoom is still a black box, but I'm gonna try to connect it back up to my monitor and see if you come back.
You're coming through loud and clear.
Oh, I see you now.
Hollywood Squares, wonderful.
Okay, we can stop sharing. I don't have anything else.
All right, are there any questions or comments? Anything anybody wants to add? All right, thank you.
Okay.
And that is our main agenda item, which means we're moving on to, I think, the question everybody has lingered on their mind. Hey, city and staff updates, when are we gonna meet in person?
2023, as far as it seems, they're, and the council meetings are available, so it's not proprietary information to tell you that Dan is adamantly against it. So is Lisa to a certain degree. Michael Lilliquist is probably the only council member who's really pushing for it to be in person, or at least the hybrid option. But every time the new headline splashes across that now it's Omicron subvariant 5.9 or whatever it may be, they just really don't want to take the chance. And so every month it gets pushed to the next month. I think in one of the very first meetings of this group, I was like, if we're back by September, I would be surprised. That I got a lot of, there's no way it's going to last that long. I don't even know if we'll be back by September. And then on the other side, I, at least personally speaking, my heart actually just goes out to every healthcare worker. And so if this is working on Zoom to a certain degree, and it's also offering a little bit more transparency and ability for engagement for people who otherwise are not able to make it to in-person meetings, I'm kind of really for it to a certain degree, just to give our healthcare community members some time to catch their breath. So still giant question mark, but I would be surprised if we went back this year. Sorry to tell you that. I know.
Sorry, it looks like one of our attendees has a question, Aaron. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, I can't see that. And we have two attendees. Vaughn, what's your question? Oh, I think you're muted.
No. How's my audio?
There you go.
Okay, great. About the survey and reaching out to Lamar Latinx community, I was wondering, I'm sorry if I missed it, I was a little late. I reached out to restaurants like El Maná or Cito, I was wondering if, because the restaurants are really tied in, I work at work school, and the restaurants are really tied in with the churches and the families at the school. So I was wondering.
Sorry, Vaughn, I think your audio sounded fine at first, and then there was like a lot of kind of feedback when you were talking, but I'm going to restate what I think I heard. The suggestion was connecting with like restaurant workers as a source of hearing from more, I guess, of underrepresented groups that we haven't heard from in the survey. I think that's a great idea. I don't have any contacts directly.
I have tons.
Okay. If you have a source or source it, I mean, I'll call an email or drop off hard copies in Spanish. I have anything. I'm happy to do it. I just don't have the connection. So yeah, Christina, if you want to forward some my way, thank you for that suggestion, Ron.
Yes, the picture in my head was that there would be hard copies there for people to look at when they would go into the restaurant and talk and catch up all together as community members in that way.
Yeah.
Put all out together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can definitely do that. And I'm always surprised. I have gotten some in the mail from people who took the time to like fill out my very long survey and like put a stamp on it and put it in the mail, which to me just feels like a huge undertaking. One of the envelopes had butterflies on it. It really cheered me up. It was really sweet. Yeah. Right. I could also do a Dropbox if you think there's any places where I could, you know, just put an envelope and pick them up later too. That way people, like you're saying, if they're eating or hanging out at church or whatever, could take it and just leave it there and I could pick it up. Yeah. If any of you belong to a church or other community where you think people might be interested, I'm happy to drop off printed copies too. So let me know. Just shoot me an email.
Okay, so aside from Christina's sad news that we're not going to see each other in person again, ever, 21-23, I guess is what we're looking at.
I will throw out there that the Climate Action Fund tax levy, well, the Climate Action Fund itself, feedback for that is on Engage Bellingham with a public hearing on June 27th, I believe, yes. At the city council meeting with all four levies on the ballot, that's gonna, if they all pass, it will add an extra $1,200 to each individual household. And then your sewer rates are also going to increase 16% year over year for about 8 years, I believe, in a row. That's not all to say I want a climate fund a climate action fund in general, but there's a lot of people smarter than I that I'm sitting in rooms with that just want to see a little bit more specificity if we're going to add yet another tax to Bellingham renters and homeowners. So if you are passionate about that, would love for you to sign up for the public hearing. Not passionate about having to speak in public, please check out the Engage Bellingham for the Climate Action Fund feedback. And then June 18th, next Saturday, is the Juneteenth celebration at Maritime Heritage Park from 2 to 6 p.m. It is the same group that's always brought it to you, Terrence T.J. Morris and the Bellingham Unity Committee. So if you're in, you can see people in person at that event. I can offer you that right now. Awesome. And I think that about does it for me.
And that I missed the time and date. Could you say that one more time?
June 18th. So a week from Saturday from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Maritime Heritage Park, where it always is. Heritime? No, Meritage Heritime, right? That's the correct order.
Do we have any other updates from the city?
I just wanted to add that our colleagues, as Kate mentioned, are working on some strategies for mobile manufactured home park preservation. And there is a scheduled hearing in front of the Planning Commission coming up. I think it's on June 16th. If you go to cob.org and look for the Planning Community Development Department and major projects, you can see a whole bunch of information about this initiative under the long range division. And I will just, including a lot of information in Spanish on that webpage. And yes, June 16th is the Planning Commission public hearing. It includes a draft ordinance, includes a right for residents to purchase, and just be kind of interested to see where this goes.
I'm just going to ask, does this have anything? There was an article in the Cascadia about 300 square foot houses just north of the mall. Is this that project or related to that project?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Brian's saying no too, so. Everyone.
No, I don't believe so. Those are while the units are manufactured, they are not mobile or manufactured housing as we think of.
Oh, okay.
The public hearing before the Planning Commission is to talk about different ways to preserve the existing mobile home parks. So there's been a moratorium on the development of them and the different ways to change the properties. There's been a moratorium on that for at least a year now, while the staff did the work on trying to come up with some different options of how we can preserve that type of housing in our community. And so what's going before the public hearing is those recommendations of staff, so that the Planning Commission can weigh in on that prior to going to City Council. So the materials for that meeting is at is already posted to the website, meetings.clb.org. We'll get you there. And then, like Sam, you said, June 16th is the date, and you can find your packet information there.
Elizabeth, you have your hand up.
Yes, so I think Heather and Sam, you said it very well as far as planning and city staff can say it. So I will say it the way the Liz would say it, which is mobile home parks are at risk of being bought up and redeveloped into single family homes. They're some of the most affordable buildable land and some of the existing most affordable home ownership and rentals in the community. And so there's a desire to not let mobile home parks go away. And so that's the way I would say it, but maybe city staff can't say it that way.
Okay. Any other city updates? All right, let's move on to announcements or what's the buzz? Anything going on? Okay. Any agenda items for future meetings? That's my dog fighting with the little stuffed chipmunk. I do have a question. It was something Brian said about getting a voucher and the difficulties people have actually being able to use them. Did I hear that incorrectly? I didn't hear that. Is it worth spending part of a meeting to go over what the process that people go through to?
So both the city and the state have adopted legislation prohibiting what's referred to as source of income discrimination. So it's illegal to discriminate against renters who have a voucher. That's not to say it doesn't still happen in many ways. That when I made that suggestion, though, what was just forefront in my mind is anybody, whether you've got a voucher or not, if you've been out there at all recently searching for housing, you've most likely come across some discrimination of one sort or another, unless you look like me.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because a colleague of mine who looks very much like me 10 years ago, he and his significant other are looking for a unit to rent, and he was going over all of the things that they have to provide on the application package in order to even apply for a unit. And it's like years worth of pay stubs is what I heard. I don't know if that's true. Anyway, I was wondering if it just might be an interesting topic that we could do a presentation on, is like, what do people face as just sort of a procedure or logistics to go from, I need to find a place to stay, I have these resources available. What do I actually have to go through? What are the hoops, and are they on fire? That's an idea. Hey, anybody else have an idea? Karen?
So I don't know if you guys are aware of the book called Made. It was written by a woman who actually was here, Skagit County. And it's a really intense, articulate story of her journey through poverty, homelessness, single motherhood, domestic violence. And it really helps someone who's never had these issues understand the hoops and the barriers that make it so difficult to get to the funding that's meant for her and people like her. And that's a book that I would recommend to all my friends. And
what was that title again?
It's called Made. I think it was actually made also into a Netflix show recently, but it is just blowing my mind. What people have to do to prove that they need something.
And it's Made, M-A-I-D, because she was a housekeeper.
Yeah.
And it's Made, Hard Work, Low Pay, and a Mother's Will to Survive. And the author is Stephanie Land.
Mm-hmm. I have a link to the Amazon page if you guys want it. That's where I'm going to buy it.
I have a copy if someone wants to borrow it.
Or Village Books or your local independent bookseller.
Ah, there we go. All right. Any other change desktops? Here we go. Any other items for the future? Shan.
I wonder if you have if we've ever had Hans Erinchard Davis on the board come and speak on the board before. He's the Lighthouse Mission Director.
We have not had Hans come and speak. The city does not support the Lighthouse Mission with any of our grants in as far as the action plan goes. So that's typically who we've had come and speak, but we'd be happy to ask.
There's two things going on there that I find interesting. They are going to expand. I guess they are in the, they have plans to grow physically and their space. And then also, I'd like to hear what he has to say about the differences between housing first and housing ready for getting folks off the streets. And it is I'm going to say a controversial topic in Bellingham. It's pretty hot. And I think that he brings in some data that is helpful to the conversation. And
did you attend the 4.5 hour? Did you attend the 4.5 hour public hearing last night?
My director did, and it's really interesting to me. I find it really interesting because there's a lot of assumptions made. Citizens in general kind of just have their own idea of, you know, you just need to take somebody who's homeless and just put them in a home. And there's just an equal, you know, it's just a ratio of 1:1 and the problem solved. And because we're all in the business or some form of it, we know that it's not just like this. It goes like this and like this. And there's a lot of factors involved in getting somebody in a home and having it be successful transformation. I'm throwing that out. As a possible idea for a guest speaker, just for educational purposes, maybe point of view.
Aaron, can I go back to staff updates?
Sure. Yes, please.
Shannon's comment reminded me. So there was a public hearing last night in front of the hearing examiner for the Lighthouse Missions expansion. I think over 90 people were present, and robust discussion, a lot of thoughtful comments, and it's going to be continued on Monday. So if any of you are interested, you didn't get to attend last night, or who did, I can attend on Monday. I also want to say that these conversations are happening in a variety of places. And as Shannon said, and as most of you know, this is it's tough to balance that. And I think, Shannon, you nailed it on the head with this Housing First and Housing Ready discussion. You probably will see something in the Herald soon. It has been in other news outlets about 22 North. A lot of staff time and attention is going into that. I'll just kind of leave it there for now. I think most of the communications are coming out of the mayor's office for that one, but it does touch on this broader issue. And I'd love to have a panel, you know, talking about this because there's so many different perspectives on it. But thanks for bringing that up, Shannon.
All right, I think I also heard that we're not gonna meet next month.
Yeah, we normally take off July or August, and looking at the schedule and what is coming before you, what needs to get public hearings, et cetera, it made more sense to take off July. And then because we have, as I showed you on our timeline, a lot coming up in the fall. So it'd be great if you're available in August to meet. I know people are still vacationing, hopefully, in August, and it's definitely still summer, but hopefully that works for most of us.
Hoping it will be summer.
Or maybe we just will skip summer this year.
No.
Not even bother.
As a school teacher, no. Well, that means I'm not going to be able to hear from you guys for a couple of months. So I'm going to put my teacher hat on and I'm going to call on people I haven't heard all night from. So I'm going to start with Ian. Any closing comments? Anything you want to add?
Closing comments. I hope everyone stays safe. Enjoy the beautiful weather. I myself don't have a whole lot planned right now, but I'm hoping to be able to enjoy the outside and do some more yard work. But at the same time, keep working and keep eyes and ears out for what's going on in the city. And hope everyone does the same.
Excellent. Rachel?
That was lovely. And I personally am struggling with Zoom. I think that this PTSD from teaching for a whole year and then it's really hard for me, and I apologize for being kind of absent during these meetings. It's just, I can't even describe it. So I think heading into the summer after this year of teaching, we're almost done, we're counting down to Friday, I will have to I'm gonna have to decompress. This has been a year like no other in education, so thank you for being here.
Well, I think we should say thank you and everybody for being here and enduring yet more Zoom. I understand the city has its reasons. And I'm not calling anybody to shame them, just because your opinion is valuable and I want to hear from you. And if it helps, I have four people left to grade. So I'm counting down to Jennifer.
I have nothing extra. The one thing that I have been following is the mobile home park potential changes. So I was glad to see we talked about that, but maybe potentially getting an update next time about what the decisions were for that, because I think that might impact us in the future as well.
Okay. And Victor?
Yes, like Rachel said, I have a bit of virtual fatigue too. I've actually been on a Teams training for an entire week that I should have been in Olympia, but they canceled it last minute for every other reason. They're canceling in-person things. So a little bit of virtual fatigue, but I appreciate everything that you guys are doing. Kate, thank you for updating on the information that you provided last month. I appreciate that. It's great information.
Now, according to my notes, everybody has had the opportunity. Does anybody want to add a closing remark before we shut this down and I start eating my hamburger?
You're doing a great job, Aaron. Thank you for being such a fun leader for this group. I'll throw that out there.
I hope everybody has a good night and a good month, and I'll see you in August, except for Kate and I think somebody else I'll see on Monday. Good night.